I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck.
And I'm Lisa Popcheck.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life. Today on More to Life, what does God want? Are you struggling to discern what God wants you to do about a choice you're making or a challenge you're facing? We'll explore the steps of good discernment. 877-573-7825.
Says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising, relevant, hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck.
I'm Lisa Popcheck.
And today on More to Life, what does God want?
Boy. It can be so hard, can't it?
Well, yeah, it can. But if you're struggling to discern what God wants you to do about, well, you know, anything, but especially a choice that you're making or a challenge that you're facing, we want to explore the steps of good discernment and help you make confident, grace-filled decisions. 877-573-7825. Again, that number is 877-573-7825.
And I think that this can feel very strange to do. For some people, honestly, good Catholic Christian people, we don't even think to ask him. You know, we think, I'm going to do the things that I believe have been taught to me by my parents and society that seem right and follow a Judeo-Christian ethic, and that's what I'm going to do. And if God doesn't want me to do it, a wall will come down and I'll do something else. So there's some of us who never even think to ask God. And then there are others of us who really try to be discerning what would please him, what we think he wants us to do along the way. And we're saying, well, how do we really know? You know, is it only when things are going right? Can it be still the right path even if barriers are being thrown in my way? It can feel complex.
Well, and here's something that even people who are trying to discern what God wants us to do forget, which is that God isn't just concerned with what we do.
Mm.
He's concerned with how we do it. You know, so it may very well be that God wants us to do X, whatever X might be, but we need to also ask him, how does he want us to do it? What's the time? What's the method, right? You know, because you know, I just sort of imagine this isn't something that's in the Screwtape Letters, but you know, the Screwtape Letters.
Let people know what that is, because some folks haven't read that before.
It's a book by C.S. Lewis that recounts a fictional conversation between an elder demon and a trainee demon on how to tempt people.
It's done very tongue-in-cheek. When the minute we start talking about something like that, people get a little nervous that it's very, very dark. It's very tongue-in-cheek to kind of show people the complexities of the ins and outs of discerning.
But I just imagine one of the conversations, you know, between that elder, that mentor demon and the trainee demon being, you know, if your patient, if C.S. Lewis
that's how they refer to him, yeah.
If your patient must do God's will, then let him do it in a way that makes that completely ruins the outcome. You know, and that's why we need to discern not just what God wants us to do, but how to do it, the timing of the thing, the process, right? And so,
especially if it involves other people and other relationships, with, you know, how that can affect the relationship or how that person perceives God in a situation that we're dealing with. Again, it can be complex.
So give us a call at 877-573-7825. If you're facing a choice that you're trying to really do God's will about, or a challenge that you're facing and you're not sure how to respond to it and not sure what God is asking you to do, let's talk about the steps of good discernment.
Because, you know, as Christians, we want to do what God wants. But why is it so hard to figure that out? The truth is, it doesn't have to be as hard as we make it out to be. God is speaking to us all the time, and there are simple steps to learning how to listen. Are you struggling with a decision? Are you not sure which choice to make? Are you facing a difficult challenge and uncertain about what to do? Let us help you tune into God's voice and cultivate the confidence you need to discern your next steps.
And I want to be clear, you know, Lisa and I aren't going to tell you what to do. We don't have that power to tell you what God is telling you to do. But we can walk you through the principles that the church has used for hundreds, if not thousands of years, in learning to hear God's voice and really understanding confidently what God is calling you to. So if you're facing a choice or you're encountering a challenge and you're not sure, you know, what is God asking me to do here? Let's work it out together by walking through those principles of good discernment. The number is 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. You know, often Jesus was referred to in Scripture as rabbi, which means teacher. And, you know, a good teacher is always very clear about the message that he or she is trying to convey. And God is too. God is the best teacher. And he wants to be clear with us. And he wants us to hear him clearly. And that's what these rules of discernment really share. 877-573-7825. If you're listening to the More to Life podcast, you can send us your questions via email. That address, questions@moretoliferadio.com. That's with the number two, questions@moretoliferadio.com. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And for folks who aren't aware of what that is, when St. John Paul was Pope, he gave a series of reflections over the course of about 5 years that talked about how we could discover God's plan for becoming everything we were created to be, living an abundant life, and having healthier, holier relationships by prayerfully considering God's design and creation.
And, you know, as we've been saying, we can really feel like it's difficult to know with certainty what God wants us to do. But when we reflect on the principles of the theology of the body, we can see that there are three qualities that God is always nudging us towards that help reveal his will for our lives, our relationships, and all the choices that we make. Those three are meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue.
So meaningfulness is the quality that enables us to ask, how could I use my gifts to make this situation better or be a blessing in some way in the face of my present circumstances? You know, living a meaningful life requires us to understand how to be a gift to others and make a positive difference in whatever we do. This is what the theology of the body refers to as self-donation. You know, so when we're discerning God's will, we can be confident that he always wants us to make the choice that enables us to use our gifts in a way that helps us be our best and brings out the best in those around us.
Secondly, the theology of the body reminds us that we were created for intimate communion with God and with others. And when trying to know what God wants us to do, it's always good to ask, how can I respond to this situation in a manner that will allow me to make my relationships healthier, stronger, deeper, and more honest?
And finally, the theology of the body reminds us that we're always called to lean into becoming the person God created us to be. And virtue refers to our ability to see every situation as a chance to become a stronger, healthier, holier person. So in discerning God's will for our lives, we've always got to ask, how can I use the thing I'm going through right now to become a little bit more of that whole, healed, godly, grace-filled person I'm meant to be? So when we prayerfully lean into meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue in all the choices that we make, we respond to the voice of the Holy Spirit calling us to become everything God created us to be. So let's talk it out. You know, are you facing a choice that you're not sure what God is calling you to do, a challenge that you're not sure how God is asking you to respond to it? If you're just trying to discern God's will for your life, let us walk through the steps of good discernment with you and help you have more confidence in your ability to hear God's voice, to know his will, and to do what he's calling you to do in every circumstance. The number, 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. 7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and then we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence, and we thank you for this opportunity to come before you. And Lord, we bring to you all the choices, all the challenges we face, all the people in our lives, all the circumstances that we're in, and we ask you to help us to open up our spiritual ears and our hearts to your will. Help us to know what you are calling us to do in the face of every situation we encounter. Help us to remember that you never call us to do anything that is contrary to the teachings of the church or the commandments. Help us to hear your voice and lean into those virtues of meaningfulness and intimacy and virtue, so that in every situation we are listening to your voice, that we are acclimating our hearts to your will, that we are trying to become everything you created us to be, and inviting the people around us to do the same. Help us to see every challenge and choice that we make, not just as something that we have to respond to directly, but also as an opportunity to grow closer to you and to hold your hand while we make every decision. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the show is titled, What Does God Want? And we're talking about the principles of discernment. You know, God is speaking to us all the time. And I think that comes as a shock to a lot of people, because, you know, we think that we should hear his voice like we hear anybody else's voice. But of course, it's rare that God speaks to us that way. But he's still speaking to us. And when you think about it, experience is the language of God. Right? He speaks and things come into being, right? So we can hear him talking to us through the things that occur in our lives. And by bringing those things back to him and saying, Lord, teach me how to respond to this, that's how we start to get more clarity on what he wants us to do. But let's face it, that's tricky. And St. Ignatius of Loyola, who is sort of an expert at discerning God's will, taught us that we can only do that best when we do it with other people. And so that's what we're here for today, to help you figure out what those steps would be in your life. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Elaine, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Chicago on the EWTN app.
Hi, Elaine. Welcome to More to Life. Elaine, are you there?
Yes.
Hi, there, Elaine. What's your question for us?
Oh, okay. I have a question about two people in my life. And they have, they've sinned. I want to know, should I tell them, talk to them about it?
So let me ask you a couple of questions. First of all, how close are you to these people? Are they?
One is my niece.
But how close are you? Do you speak to them every day? Are you in a close relationship? Sorry, say again?
Yes.
Do they talk to you about personal stuff? Do they come to you for advice? And do they say, hey, Aunt Elaine, I'm really struggling with this, and I really need your feedback about that. Do you have that kind of relationship?
They're close-knit family,
So it's close-knit family.
We talk about everything.
Okay. And when you give advice that they, if they're asking you for your opinion on things, if you tell them something that they don't like to hear, do they often listen to it, or do they usually get defensive and push you away? How do they respond whenever you're direct with them about what you think?
Sometimes they just say, I'll think about it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I won't say nothing else about it.
And can I ask, when you say that they're that you're wondering whether to call them out on their sin. I mean, what are they doing exactly, just so I have a sense of what you're dealing with here?
Well, one of them is dealing with another same-sex person.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one was dealing with a married man.
Mm-hmm.
His wife died, but she's still dealing with him.
And let me just so I understand sort of their spiritual orientation. Do they consider themselves Christian, and are they serious about living out their faith, or would you say that they're either not really serious or not Christian at all?
They're not really serious. They used to go to church all the time.
Okay.
In the church, and they stopped.
Okay. So in a situation like this, I mean, you know, we always want to pray about this and just sort of say, you know, Lord, help me to be the best influence I possibly can be. Help me to be, first of all, a good witness to what it means to live a healthy and holy life, because that's the most important thing in discerning anything, too, is you know, we're trying to lead a holy life. But we also have to kind of really think about how will our message come across, and how can we say it in a way that people will be most receptive to. And that's why I asked you about the strength of your relationship with them, and also their kind of spiritual orientation, whether it was important to them to be living according to the gospel or not. So, number one, you know, the closer you are to somebody, the more appropriate it is to be direct with them about things. So if you have a relationship where somebody is coming to you regularly and saying, hey, Elaine, what do you think about this? What should I do about that? You know, and they're really open with you and you know, willing to receive your feedback. You know, that's somebody you can be more direct with than somebody who just, you know, you talk about the weather and you talk about current events and you talk about the stuff that happened in the week, but not necessarily about where their heart is and where they're going in their life.
And even if you're talking about things that are closer and more personal, but in a large group family setting, that's not going to really be a way into their heart and mind. So if you're not used to that more personal one-on-one with them, that's a factor to take into account.
Secondly, we always have to, especially when it comes to kind of challenging somebody on the way that they're living, you have to kind of look at what is their orientation. Are they interested in living a life rooted in gospel values? You know, are they interested in living a life rooted in Christian values? Because, you know, we sometimes think that, well, because somebody went to church, that's what they want to do. But if they're not currently working at all to lead a Christian life, then that doesn't mean we can't call them on. It means we have to be extra careful about how we do it, right? Because somebody who is really interested in leading a Christian life would be more open to hearing, hey, I'm not sure how the choices that you're making really reflect the teachings that you say that you want to live up to, right? And you can ask them to kind of reflect on that. So what I would suggest to you is I want you to pray about both of those things. You know, how close are you, and how, and based on that, how open are they to you? And secondly, how serious are they about living out some kind of faith, some Christian values? And so therefore, how direct can you be? What I would suggest, if you're going to say anything to them, It's best not to confront somebody by saying, hey, you're breaking the rules. It's best to come to somebody and say, you know what? I love you so much, and God loves you even more. And because I know that, I know he wants the best for you. And I'm kind of afraid that the choices you're making reflect you settling in your life. So, for example, about your niece who is, you know, having an affair with a married man. She's not going to get the relationship that she wants. She's not going to get the love that she deserves. She's not going to have the security and the value that she deserves to have in a relationship. And you know, gently pointing out that, you know, I want the best for you, and I'm afraid the choices that you're making are causing you to settle for something less than I want for you and that I believe that God wants for you. Right? Taking that approach rather than you're breaking the rules really allows you to be able to say something in love that helps a person remember what they stand for, what they really want. You know, and then if they're kind of talking about that, then you can also kind of bring up, you know, and the reason that we have all these teachings as a church or as Christian people, you know, is because, not because they're about the rules, but because they're the path that help us to lead an abundant life. And, you know, you say that, if they say they're Christian, you say that you're a Christian, and I'm just not sure, how do you square what you're doing with this teaching or with that thought? So you're not accusing them of anything. You're not judging them in any way. You're holding up a mirror and saying, I just want you to reflect on the choices that you're making in the light of these beliefs that you say that you have, or at least I understood you to have. Help me understand how those things go together for you. And then you can bring that up there. So first of all, pray about the closeness of the relationship and their openness to feedback from you. But assuming that you think that there is that openness, then try to frame any comments that you might make in that way I was just describing. And if you'd like to try to remember this, and it's a lot to kind of take in, I'd encourage you to download the More to Life podcast and listen to this show again and just write down some notes based on what we're sharing with you about how to bring these things up if you decide to pursue them in prayer. Elaine, thank you so much for the call. If there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us again here on the program. And we're taking your calls, listeners, about discernment today on More to Life. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. We're talking about helping you discern what God wants for you in the face of the choices you're making and the challenges you're facing. 877-573-7825. We'll be back in a minute.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Do you feel as though life is flying past you? Are you desperate for a way to find moments of peace and quiet? Lord, Teach Me to Pray, the free Ignatian Prayer Series, will open your heart to His voice, to the peace you are seeking and the only love that fulfills the human heart, Jesus. God is calling you to true joy, knowing Jesus personally. Lord, Teach Me to Pray is free. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com, click on the red box, order the Lord, Teach Me to Pray series now. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com.
When your children consider going to college, where are you going to find a place that will prepare them for the future and build on the foundation that you've laid? The answer? Ave Maria University. With an authentically Catholic curriculum, including 35 majors, AMU prepares students to take on the world.
I've seen the difference in my son since he's been at Ave Maria. He's happy, he's excited about what he's going to do with his degree, and he's living his faith.
Learn more at avemaria.edu. That's avemaria.edu.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
I want you to have such confidence in the Lord that you'll find such hope at seeing the beauty of the Lord, the majesty of God. What did our Lord say, huh? If your sins are as scarlet, oh, what? What's going to happen? They shall be made white as snow.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
The most amazing saints from modern times, John Paul II, Maximilian Kolbe, and Maria Faustina with the Divine Mercy. This is Steve Ray. We invite you to join us on a pilgrimage to Poland and experience this incredible Catholic country. The land of saints, Catholic culture, gorgeous churches and shrines, and delicious food. Join us next April as we again visit Poland, one of our favorite pilgrimage destinations.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today on More to Life, the show is titled, What Does God Want? As we talk about the steps of good discernment. 877-573-7825 is the number to call with your questions about, you know, really knowing what God is calling you to do in the face of the choices that you're making and the challenges you're facing. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Jacob Flores Popchak. He is a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com. He's an expert in the theology of the body and an author and illustrator. Jacob, welcome to More to Life.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So let's talk about, you know, when you're working with clients who are trying to discern what God is asking them to do about this or that, you wanted to talk about maybe some of the common mistakes that people make in the process of discernment.
Yeah, the biggest one I encounter, and it's a really insidious one, is what I call the lie that the worst thing is always the best thing.
And what does that mean?
Yeah, well, exactly. When I say that to people, they get kind of baffled by it. But when you realize what it means, you realize you do it all the time in your life and that everybody does it, Catholic or not. And it's this really weird kind of inverse sales pitch that most humans have embedded in them. That the thing that makes me the least happy and that helps me that suffer the most is actually the best thing for me. So, you know, in Catholic circles, you'll see this a lot with, well, I have two options, and one is nice, and the other one I really don't like. But therefore, that's the one I don't like is probably the one God is calling me to in order to help me grow in humility or discomfort or holiness or whatever the line is that I'm telling myself, right? But the secular versions of this that we encounter all the time are like, you know, buy this beer. It tastes worse, so therefore it's manlier. Or even, you know, right. Or even there are a lot of statistics to show that they have to make cough syrups actually taste bad, because if a medicine tastes good, test audiences assume that it isn't working. Right.
All right. So with the 2 minutes we have left, you've got a lot of Catholic listeners with question marks over their head saying, well, what about growing in virtue and all these things if we choose the harder part? So sort this out for us in the 2 minutes we got.
Well, as you guys have been describing with this idea of striving for meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue, God wants to be close to us, right? And so when we organically encounter suffering in our lives, when we organically encounter that frustrating situation or that scary time or that difficult person, God does want to bond with us in that time, but not because, you know, a bad time necessarily makes us more holy. It's because he wants to use every situation in which we find ourselves to draw into closer relationship with us. So if you organically find yourself going through a rough period of time, there are many, many beautiful ways to connect with God through, you know, offering that difficulty up for the souls in purgatory, through connecting that experience that you're having to a time that Jesus went through something similar and asking him how you should feel about it, how you should think about it. Those are all beautiful things. But God is not asking you to just randomly seek out crosses to nail yourself to, right? He wants to connect with you no matter what you're going through, whether it's good or bad. So you don't have to assume that the bad thing is the best thing.
Well, and sometimes, you know, the hard thing is the thing that God's calling us to, but it's always because it's we're pursuing that meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue, that deeper relationship with God, not just because it's hard. Hey, thanks for those comments. And if folks would like to learn more about your good work, we invite them to go into CatholicCounselors.com to learn more about the Pastoral Solutions Institute's pastoral telecounseling practice.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
I really love St. Augustine because I think he is a good example for all of us that no matter how stubborn, no matter how intelligent we may be, you know, thinking we're so smart and we don't have to worry about what God says. But a lot of people see themselves as gods, making their own decisions and thinking they're fine and thinking that they can pick and choose through Catholicism and Christianity in general. But St. Augustine is a reminder to us that anyone, even one with a hardened heart, can have a huge change. Whether it's late in life, whatever. God is always trying to give good things to us. Ah, but our hands are too full to receive them. Think about that. We fill our hands with the things that we think matter. St. Augustine, pray for us.
Catholic Connections, Teresa Tomeo. Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Teaches that Jesus Christ is literally and wholly present, body and blood, soul and divinity, under the appearances of bread and wine. In the Bread of Life discourse, documented in John chapter 6, Jesus states that he is the bread of life, and that his flesh is true food and his blood true drink. The Jews were scandalized in verse 52. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus does not back down, but reiterates this teaching four more times over the next four verses. Many left in verse 66 because this teaching was truly difficult. But at no point does Jesus water down his teaching and call them back. No, he allows them to leave, and even questions his 12 apostles if they too wish to leave. Jesus intended to be understood literally, and the Jews, apostles, and the Catholic Church absolutely take him at his word. Examining the truth of the Catholic faith, this is faithforensics.org.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popchak. Did you know that research shows that married couples who find time to connect in meaningful ways tend to be happier and more resilient? It's not just about going out for a date now and then. It's about connecting in simple, ordinary ways on a daily and weekly basis. It's about finding ways to work, play, talk, and pray together instead of individually. For example, when couples choose to make a meal or clean up the kitchen together, that experience can nurture a sense of teamwork and collaboration that spills over into other areas of their relationship. Couples can connect by regularly doing something fun together, too, It doesn't need to be big. It might be as simple as reading a book together or taking an interest in one another's hobbies. As small as these rituals of connection might seem, over time, they create a deep, solid foundation for any marriage. They create the time couples need to share experiences, relate on a deeper level, and build a shared life together. Get more tips for building a strong marriage in the book, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. And if you would like to find faithful help with your relationship, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back, folks. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, the show is titled, What Does God Want? As we talk about discerning God's will and knowing what he wants you to do in the face of the choices you're making and the challenges you're facing, give us a call. The number again is 877-573-7825, 877-573-7825. And if you're listening via the More to Life podcast, you can always send us your questions via email. That address is questions@moretoliferadio.com. That's with the number two, questions@moretoliferadio.com.
Let's talk now with Jeff, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Louisiana on Sirius XM 130.
Hi, Jeff. Welcome to More to Life. What's your question for us?
Well, good morning. Long-time listener, infrequent caller. And your topic this morning is something that I've been thinking about for quite some time. I hit a milestone birthday last year, and you know, because of a number of reasons, including a health challenge, I have essentially stepped away from my profession, and. You know, for the most part, retired. You know, I feel good, and what I'm trying to figure out or discern now is what does my next chapter look like? What does the Lord want me to do?
That is such a great question, and a lot of people just turned up the volume on their radio because everybody hits extra stages and begins to say, okay, this is a turning point. What do I do? It's a great question, Jeff.
Jeff, do you have specific choices in front of you, or are you kind of just even trying to think about what those choices might be?
More the latter.
Okay.
And, you know, of wanting to, you know, make sure that it's aligned with you know, with God's, you know, direction and guidance, and not just me.
And tell me a little bit more about your circumstances. Are you married? Do you have children? I mean, kind of where and okay.
Yes.
Yes, all right. Great.
Married, a stepson, and one absolutely beautiful grandson.
Okay.
Oh, that's wonderful. Now, with your wife in the picture here, are you two things, talking about this new stage in both of your lives? Because when you make a shift, so does she. And are you praying together about it?
Yes, we have discussed it. As a matter of fact, you know, her guidance, you know, when, you know, I had my health event, was you can't keep doing this. You know, you really need to retire, because if you keep doing this, you're not going to be around.
Sure.
And
are you guys praying together about it? I mean, I'm glad you were open to her advice on that. And because, like, a lot of times people will say, well, yeah, we are praying, but I pray and then she prays, but we don't really pray together.
Nope, together.
Nope. Awesome.
That's beautiful. That's what a great marriage. What a great witness to your life. This is, you know, when you've been going down this road, that God is going to come through and tell you, because you're so receptive to what he's going to say to you.
Now, you've got a lot of good stuff here. So you know, let me just walk through some of the basic steps of good discernment and kind of, you know, give you that framework to work off of. You know, again, you know, number one, You know, good discernment requires that we are trying our best to lead a holy life, that we're participating in the sacraments, that we're going to confession, that we're, you know, that we're doing, we're trying our best on a daily basis to do what we feel God wants us to do. Secondly, you know, God's never going to ask us to do something that's contrary to the commandments or the teachings of the church, because that's all part of a conversation that we've all been having with God for, you know, 2,000 years in Christianity, 4,000 years if you count Judaism as well, right? And so, you know, God has, having instructed his people over the course of that 4,000-year-old conversation on, hey, you can do these things, but don't do those things, you know, he's not going to just randomly say to us, well, I'm going to make an exception for you. So those are two basic things. Beyond that, though, as you and your wife are praying about this, I want you to kind of look at this in two ways. Don't just think about what are the new things that God wants me to do. What new thing does God want me to add to my life? Start with, how could I lean into more meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue in the life and relationships I have now? You know, so with the time that God is giving me, having stepped back from work, you know, how could my wife and I build our relationship and make it stronger? How could I make my relationship with my stepchild stronger or my grandchild stronger?
Yes.
You know, if you're involved in your parish, if you're involved in other, you know, either hobbies or interests or organizations, you know, how could I commit on a deeper level to those kinds of things that, again, that would let me lean into meaningfulness? And again, we define that as, how could I use the gifts and talents I have to make a positive difference in my circumstances, to make a positive difference in the lives of those around me? Intimacy, how could I make my relationships stronger and healthier? Whether that means being more vulnerable in relationships that are already healthy, or setting some boundaries on some relationships that maybe aren't quite so healthy, so that perhaps they could become healthier and holier in time. And then the third quality, virtue. How could I use whatever I'm going through as an opportunity to grow into the person God's calling me to be, to grow closer to the Lord? What responses would I make to the circumstances I'm in that would really challenge me? Not just, you know, too hard to accept hardship for hardship's sake, as Jacob was talking about, but to grow. You know, to really grow in those virtues that help me be more of that whole, healed, godly, grace-filled person the Lord's calling me to be. I would say start with the things that are in front of you, right? And then as you're doing those things, as you're pursuing meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue in the face of your marriage, in the face of your relationship with your stepchild, in the face of your relationship with your grandchild, in your face of your relationship with any of the other things that you're currently doing, and you keep bringing that all back to God, he's going to start highlighting to you certain things that seem meaningful. You know, oh, you know what? I could make a contribution here. I could make a difference there. I have this talent that I've always wanted to pursue, or this interest that I've always wanted to pursue, and I think that it would fit into the life that I have and enable me to, you know, make a positive difference in these ways. It's going to become clearer to you, and that's God speaking to you as you're bringing that framework to him and sort of sifting through your experience with that framework. God's going to highlight different things that he wants you to go deeper with. But start with the things that are in front of you and really build from there, so that it's an organic growth in discernment, as opposed to just saying, well, yeah, I've got a marriage, and I've got kids, and I've got a grandkid, and I've got some other things, but what new thing does God want me to do? Because it'll come out more naturally and more organically if you bring it to God the way I'm suggesting to you.
The second thing, John, Jeff, is to really take a look at the touchstones of your day, together with your wife and for yourself. Because suddenly, you know, when we're used to, I've done this every single day of my adult life, and I don't have those anymore. I'm not going to work. I'm not taking that trip to work. I'm not seeing those people. We can really feel it sixes and sevens. So really discussing with your wife four basic things. How can you fit in time every day together? Schedule time to work together, talk together, play together, and pray together. Now, if you're taking time every day to have some prayer time with your wife, even if that's when you just roll over in the morning and say good morning to each other and you're praying for each other, you have something scheduled into the day that's going to be fun for the two of you to do together. It doesn't have to, you know, go out and play pickleball every single day. It could be you're going to play a hand of cards. You're going to watch a movie together. You're going to take a walk together. Whatever those things are that you can just fit some enjoyment together into your day. A work project together. That could just be cleaning up the dishes together. But something where you're doing something together that moves you ahead with something about your life together. Do that together every single day. Just a few minutes. We're not talking about hours and hours and hours. and talking together every day. You know, when we live with the same person day in and day out, especially when you're not going out to work, you can think you're covering everything. But to be able to say, no, we're going to talk during dinner tonight about those things that are on the list of things we need to talk about, whether it's the vacation, the decisions we're making, when we're babysitting and when we're not babysitting. So you really are getting that time to communicate with each other about anything that's important. And then build those other touchstones for yourself around it. You know, are you getting exercise? Are you, you know, seeing somebody at least a few times a week so you're feeling connected to the world? Build the touchstones in as you're doing the big discernment work that Greg's talking about, and I think you'll have a pretty smooth ride in discerning what God's asking you to do.
Jeff, we talk about this more and unpack these principles more in my book, The Life God Wants You to Have. You can pick that up at CatholicCounselors.com. Again, the title, The Life God Wants You to Have, and it really walks through this framework of meaning, of pursuing meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue in prayer. If you'd like to build on the work that you and your wife are doing to discern together, our book, Praying For and With Your Spouse, has a whole section on couple discernment that I'd encourage you to check out as well. And you can find both of those titles, Praying For and With Your Spouse and The Life God Wants You to Have, at CatholicCounselors.com. Thanks so much for the call, and please keep us posted on how things are going and if we can support you more as you walk down this road. 877-573-7825. We're taking your calls about discernment. Are you facing a challenge that you're not quite sure what God's asking you to do with, or a choice that you're not sure what God's asking you to make? Well, let's talk it out and find those steps, apply those steps of good discernment to your situation. 877-573-7825. As we head to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Romans chapter 12, verse 12.
Be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect.
And this goes to what I was saying earlier, that God isn't just interested in what we do, but he's interested in how we do it. Right? And so when we're discerning something, it's important not only to just ask God, okay, Lord, well, what do you want me to do in this situation, but how do you want me to do it? What's the timing, and what are the words that you want me to use? Because, as St. Paul says in this verse, God is concerned not just with the choices that we make, but with the renewal of our mind, that he wants to remake us so that in everything we do, we are completely receptive to his grace and his will. And the processes that we're talking about today help us do that, you know, because making decisions isn't just about knowing the correct answer on the test. It's about really drawing closer to the Lord and letting him hold our hand and lead us and guide us in the face of everything we're going through. So let us help you apply these principles of good discernment to the challenges and choices that you're facing in your life. The number 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. 7825. More to Life. We'll be back with your questions.
Ave Maria in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization: Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you with one of 1,400 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 70% to Ave Maria Radio and Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Not all sin is equal. Sins can, says the Catholic Catechism, be distinguished in gravity according to their objects, to the virtues they oppose or the commandments they violate. The root of sin lies within man's heart, Jesus declared. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. These, said the Lord, are what defile a man. On the other hand, charity, the source of all good works, also resides in the heart. The gravest of sin, mortal sin, destroys charity in man's heart by a serious violation of God's law. Mortal sin requires three conditions: grave matter, full knowledge of that gravity, and complete consent of the will. Because mortal sin turns man away from God by preferring an inferior good to God, it should be brought to confession. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically own shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
We're so glad to be with you today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled, What Does God Want? It's a big question, and it's hard to know the answer to it sometimes. If you are struggling with a choice or a challenge that you're facing, and you really do want to know what God's calling you to, let us walk you through the steps of good discernment so that you can be confident about the choices you're making. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with John, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Kansas on Sirius XM 130.
Hi, John. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Well, 6 months ago, I was arrested and, you know, false charges and stuff like that. I've got a no contact order. Marriage has always been a big thing for me, the covenant of marriage. I truly believe that with all my heart, and the virtue of marriage, and, you know, how to be the person, be there for the other person. Mm-hmm. And I've been married for 6 years, and our marriage has been tumultuous most of the time. And I was in a state of desolation when I went down and I filed for divorce, and now we're, you know, going through all the, prior to, you know, financials and all that stuff. I do not want a divorce. And I don't know how to approach. There's no contact order, so I have to go through attorneys. But my question is, you know, discerning, is this what God wants? You know, is he trying to get me out of this marriage, or do I need to make amends and try to?
And just so I understand a little bit more, you kind of, and I, you know, I don't need to know all the details here, but you said that. There were false charges filed against you. What was the nature of the false charges?
Abuse, physical abuse, which is all a total fabrication.
Okay.
But she has learned how to use that, you know, to her favor.
Mm-hmm. I see. And tell me a little bit more about the circumstances. Are you guys married in the church? Are you both faithful Catholics, Christians?
Yes. She went to RCIA. You know, she says, well, I'm doing this for you. And I tried to explain to her, you know, you need to do this for yourself. I don't want to be, you know, yes, I'll be there for you. I support you. But this is your decision. And
what kind of help are you getting? Are you talking with a pastor? Are you getting professional counseling or for yourself?
No, I haven't gone to any counseling. I've been thinking about it. I talked to the pastor that we went through RCIA with, and he said, I got three words for you. Run, Forrest, run.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
But, you know, things just don't set well with me because that's not, you know, who I am or what I believe. You know, I just believe more in the covenant. And
okay. Well, I do think that it would be an important first step would be getting some good counseling, if you can, pastoral counseling that would kind of be able to integrate your faith into the work that you're doing, so that, you know, you're clear that you're getting the guidance that would really help you respect the call that God is placing in your heart. Let me just kind of speak generally to the purpose of Christian marriage. You know, Christian marriage is really all about two people who are committing to God and each other to learn how to love the way God wants them to. You know, it's not just about, you know, crossing your T's and dotting your I's. It's about, you know, committing at the altar to saying, you know, I love this person, but I don't really know how to love them. And I'm coming to this place because I believe that this place can teach me how to love this spouse the way God wants me to. And I'm going to spend the rest of my life kind of humbling myself to that lesson so I can really learn how to help my spouse become everything God created them to be in this life and get them to heaven in the next. And that's really what's at the heart of Christian marriage. You know, yes, companionship is certainly part of it. Yes, all the other things that come along with it are a part of it. But the main thing is you have two Christian disciples who recognize that even though they feel love for each other, they don't know how to love each other the way God wants them to. And they're going to work really hard to learn those lessons in their relationship. And sometimes that means going through really hard times. And kind of bumping up against each other's brokenness and weakness. I mean, that's all part of it, right? But at the root of that has to be that sort of willingness to learn to love the way God wants us to. And so there are some relationships where people get married for lots of other reasons that don't have anything to do with trying to listen to the call of God on their heart. And it may very well be that the pastor gave you that advice because he feels that is lacking in this marriage. I couldn't possibly comment on that. I don't know the two of you. But that's why I want you to have that conversation with your pastor, because these decisions about whether we should divorce or not are really something that we shouldn't be making on our own. They should be making them in consultation with the church, with good pastoral or other counseling that help us get our head on straight so that we can hear God's voice and follow that will clearly. So I want you to keep talking with your pastor, but I would like you to get in touch with either a good local counselor or contact us at CatholicCounselors.com to learn more about our pastoral counseling work. But, you know, as you're praying through this, one of the things you want to be asking yourself is, you know, have I and my wife been open to learning how to love each other the way God wants us to? Or have I and my wife been kind of closed to that and really just trying to do what comes naturally to us and hoping that would work? You know, is there this sort of closed-mindedness and closed-heartedness to really being humble enough to say, I don't know what I'm doing, and I really need to learn how God wants us to love each other and how God is calling us to bring out the best in each other? Or do we consistently bring out the worst in each other and end up where we're really both a near occasion of sin for each other? Right? What do I mean by that? Well, you know, as Christians, we're not just called to avoid sin, we're called to avoid near occasions of sin. So, you know, if I'm an alcoholic, for example, I shouldn't go into a bar, even if I don't intend to drink. And there are some people who I'm drawn to because of my woundedness, but those people consistently bring out the absolute worst in me. Now, that could be an opportunity for healing if I'm in that relationship and they're bringing out the worst in me, but we're both trying really hard and praying really hard, okay, God, help heal us through this, help us to grow through this, and help us to learn from it. But if I'm drawn to somebody and they're wounded and I'm wounded and it's bringing out the worst in us, and either they're not willing to pray through that and be humble about the fact that they need to learn things, or I'm not willing to do that, then that can very well become a situation where the relationship is a near occasion of sin, where it's consistently bringing out the absolute worst in me, and the most loving thing I can do is to withdraw from that person. Anyway, that process is something that you have to keep discerning. So what I'd say for right now, you want to be working on yourself. You want to be working on being the best man you could be. Even though there's a no contact order, there's a lot of stuff here that you recognize that you need to change in yourself, and I would really respond to the call of the Holy Spirit to address those things. And as you're doing that work, you know, you're going to, even though you have no contact, you're going to have some contact when the attorneys are there, when you're working through this process. She's going to see.
People, even a church, telling her about any significant changes they see in you.
As you're making those changes, it's going to become clear whether you can maintain those changes and be that person with her or not.
And whether those positive changes begin, as she hears about them, as they trickle down to her, inspire her to get the counseling she needs to become that person that's open to God's will, open to a truly covenantal marriage with you, open to healing. Those things can be an invitation to her. If they are, then you keep pursuing that and discerning it. If not, you get more of your answer. So you're constantly inviting yourself and her to heal more, to be able to heal the marriage, because you're doing the healing work on yourselves and bringing it to the Holy Spirit to discern it as you take those steps.
You know, and just to clarify here for a second, you know, a divorce doesn't mean anything in terms of the eyes of the church. You're still married, as in the eyes of the church. Divorce is a tax document, essentially, that says, you know, we can't live together for some reason, but you're still married. You're still in that covenantal relationship that says we are committed to working for each other's good. Now, it's possible after that divorce to really discern, you know, this either one or the other of us or both of us aren't open to that. We're not able to participate with that grace. And that's when you would enter into discernment with the church about whether this was a valid marriage at all. But the first step is right now, responding to that call of the Holy Spirit to grow and become more the man that you need to be in the face of these challenges, so that whatever God's plan is for you long term, you can be heading in that direction. John, thank you so much for the call. I'm so sorry that you're going through this incredibly painful situation. But please do seek the help that I'm talking about here and continue praying about it the way I'm suggesting. I think you'll become clearer as time goes by. That's all the time we've got for today's program. If you are struggling to know God's will in the face of the challenges or choices that you have to make, check out my book, The Life God Wants You to Have, which is all about discernment and having that clarity in your heart and your spirit. You can pick that book up at CatholicCounselors.com, where you can also learn more about the Pastoral Solutions Institute's telepastoral counseling practice, where you can work with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, or personal life.
Have a blessed day. To More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.